हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमाविर्विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 20, Transcendental Mellow, verse 2, 1:11, page 10. So, then, however, prema, even becoming slightly pleasurable by a slight mix of vibhava and the other ingredients, quickly becomes fully tasteful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But prema, attaining a slight condition suitable for tasting, abhi, Vanad Yashvashtam, by a slight combination with Vibhava and the other elements, quickly attains a fully tasteful state. So even there's just a little bit there, then there'll be so much taste. So that's the thing. You don't need so much. It's still, whatever it is, it creates taste. That's the perfection of prema. Verse 2, 1, 12, and 13. The general characteristics of the ingredients are as follows. In tasting rasa, the causes of rati, such as Krishna, his devotee, and the sound of the flute, are called vibhavas. The effects of rati, such as smiling, are called anubhavas. And the eight symptoms, such as being stunned, are called sattvikabhavas. The assistants, such as self-criticism, are called vyavichari-bhavas. All right, so you have the cause, the effects, and the assistance. Right? So makes sense. Yeah. So in effects, you have the anubhavas and the sattvikabhavas, because the anubhavas would be the mental, the sattvikabhavas would be physical, and then the assistance, the vyabhichari. Right? Srila Prabhupada. There are several origins or causes for the compulsive love of Krishna, such as Krishna himself, the devotees of Krishna, and Krishna's playing on the flute. The effect is sometimes loving and sometimes stunted. 2.1.14. In rasa, the vibhavas should be known as the causes of relishing rati. They take the form of support, alambana, of two types and stimuli, udipana. Srila Jiva Goswami. The heading Tatra Vibhava indicates that in rasa now vibhavas will be described. This will be the subject of the chapter. Why? Verse 14 gives the reason. The causes of tasting rati should be known, geya. These are explained in the next line of the verse as the person who is the object of love, vishaya, the subject experiencing love, ashraya, and the stimuli awakening the rasa, udipana. Right, so all this will be in vibhava. It means the object of love, or who it's directed at, is Krishna, who is the enjoyer, the vishaya, the devotee who is experiencing that love, that particular aspect, who is the shelter of that particular relationship, and then the stimuli, as mentioned before, you know, Krishna, the devotees, the sound of the flutes, these aspects that cause the rati to come up, right? Because the rati will be whatever is the stai bhava. Right? So that means it has a particular rati or attraction to Krishna. Right? And so that will be stimulated by these various aspects that are there. It's between the devotee and Krishna, and then there'll be the particular items that cause that to happen. That makes sense? Yeah. 2.1.15. This is mentioned in the Agni Purana, Alankara, section 3.35. Vibhava refers to the two types of alambana, the person in relation to whom the rati and other elements are experienced, vishaya, the person in whom the rati and other elements are experienced, ashraya, and to udipana, the stimuli by which rati is experienced. Right, so the experience, who is in relationship to and who is experiencing it. Right, so it's a relationship to Krishna, he's the Vishaya, and it's experienced by the devotee. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The devotee and the Lord in relation to whom rati is tasted, yatra vibhava te, are called the alambana vibhava. Those elements by which rati is tasted, yena vibhavyate, are called udipana vibhava. Right? So it's within that, so you can call it, does that make sense? It's vibhava, and within that you have udipana and alambana. Right? So you can also call it alambana vibhava and udipana vibhava. Right, just that.
Can you explain a little bit the difference? Udipana, I understand. But alambana, can you bring the example?
Here is the point, is that the person in relation to whom the rati and other elements are experienced, Vishaya, so in other words, Krishna. Yes, always Krishna. Yeah. And then the person in whom the rati and other elements are experienced, that's the ashraya. So then, let's say Mother Jashoda. So then, the Vishaya will be Krishna, but then also it'll be especially then as baby Krishna, right? Especially the Kumara age, but you know it'll go all the ages, but especially that's where it's outstanding the most. And then the Ashraya will be Mother Jashoda, and those then assisting her. Does that make sense? And then the stimuli will be the things that cause that parental affection to come up. Does that make sense?
Then Mahaprabhu, he will be ashraya in the mother
of Srimati Radharani, and Krishna is the Visha. Yeah, and then all those things that would inspire Srimati Radharani about Krishna, that would be the udipana. Mm-hmm. So that's why then we're assisting Lord Chaitanya in tasting this. But the point is that taste is so nice, so why shouldn't others also be taking part? Therefore, the Sankirtan mission, right? And then, okay, we convince people that this is a good thing to do, but then you also have to have that association with devotees in which you nourish that and cultivate it and further it by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. So that will be the Vaishnava Seva. So the idea is that we just preach. We don't have to study. We don't have to associate and all that. That's all Maya. That's not understanding the whole thing. Yes, we preach, but the point of preaching is then there'll be people who are taking part in the nine processes and associating in the nine processes. That brings us to a taste of Krishna consciousness. So you have to have all three aspects. Right? Lord Chaitanya is tasting all three, but on the level of Srimati Radharani. And we'll taste on our level. Right? Alambanas are described as follows. The wise consider the alambanas to be Krishna, as the object of love experienced in rati, and as devotee as the experiencer, subject of rati. The five major and seven secondary stai bhavas. Right, so they have the five major and the seven secondary. So the five major are going to be, those are ratis or attractions in that way, and then the seven secondary, that they are also supportive of that. Like that. In the material world, the five primary aren't really the main ones. It's the seven secondary that are actually more what's prominent. But otherwise, when the five major are in their place, then the seven secondary, even though they're counted as rasas, they're part of the Vyavichari Bhavas. They're counted in there. You know, because they come up and then go away. They're not constant. Like Stai Bhava means it's always fixed. Yes.
Are there a kind of variation between all these rasa until you arrive to the topmost?
Is there a variation meaning?
Is it that we go from some rasa in tamas until raja in tamas?
That means in the material world you'll see is that you're uncovering. So it's like, you know, something's very dark and slowly becomes a little lighter. But it's not that our relationship with Krishna, we already have a relationship. It's just uncovering that relationship.
for different devotees, so we will discover, even if we grow in the same temple or same family, we will have different...
You can have. It's not. It can be the same. It's not a matter of. It's not. The point is it's not an intellectual point of how you say numerical kind of possibilities. It's an actual that you have a relationship, and it's just a matter of uncovering it. So it may be the same, may be different, but that's not the point. The point is to uncover it. It's not a matter of, well, I'm going to like it when I uncover it, and what if I want another one? These aren't part of the discussions.
My question is, discovered, are there identified? A spiritual master, you can see one covert and another, then the person who is covert is blind. If you see the different covert, and can you give a name? You have this, you have that, you have this.
He's covering, I'm still not quite getting... means you're covering the living entity. You're covered by the modes of nature. You're covered by, you know, these forms of false ego, you know, attachment, the ones that were mentioned in the previous class about that false identity, the attachment, the hatred,
absorption,
all these things. These are what's covering the living entity. Or lust, anger, greed, and the attachment. These are covering the living entity. So that you can see. It's just like you can see it in others. The materialists can even see those things. You know. But what they can't see is actually just the nature of the soul. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. There are 8 transcendental symptoms found in the body during ecstasy. And all of them are possible only by a mixture of the above mentioned 5 ecstatic divisions. Without some mixture of these 5 ecstatic principles, one cannot relish transcendental bliss. The cause or basis for relishing transcendental mellow is exactly what we mean by vibhava. This vibhava is divided into 2, namely basic and impelling, or impetus giving. In the Agni Purana, the description of vibhava is given as follows. The basis from which ecstatic love is born is called vibhava, which is divided into 2, basic and impelling. In other words, there are 2 kinds of ecstatic love. The object of basic ecstatic love is Krishna and his devotee. Lord Krishna is the object of basic ecstatic love, and his pure devotee, a reservoir of such love, is the object of impelling ecstatic love. Impelling ecstatic love, then, is that love which develops when one sees an object which reminds him of Krishna. Right? So in other words, the basis is the relationship between Krishna and the devotee. And what will be the impelling aspect of the ecstatic love will be the devotee. Because the devotee then sees something in connection with Krishna. Right? Krishna himself or something, paraphernalia or devotees or some situation. And that will then impel them in their affection for Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's coming from the devotee. Then that's directed at Krishna, who's the enjoyer. Right? He's the object of that. Mm-hmm. Then the devotee will experience that rasa in that interchange. Does this make some sense? Yes.
Krishna also experienced that rasa, isn't it? So both experience the rasa.
Yes, but he's experiencing it as the enjoyer, and the devotee is enjoying it, is experiencing it as the shelter of that, or the servant. So what the devotee experiences is greater than what Krishna experiences. That's why he comes to Srimati Radharani. In some sense. So both are experienced, but he as Vishaya, we as Ashraya. But the point is that he reciprocates according to how you approach him. So it's the devotee... who's in the position of the impelling static love. Because they're the ones by seeing, coming in contact with that impels them in their particular attraction to the Lord. And then Krishna reciprocates in that move. Does that make sense? Means that the devotee, means Krishna is the object of the affection. Then the devotee seeing something in connection with Krishna, then remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates with that. But there's something that's impelling them to serve. Right? That's what Prabhupada is saying. If you don't have a mixture, you don't get rasa.
Right.
Just that you have the sthayi bhava, then okay, you exist in that position. But it's only when the vibhava is there that this mix starts happening. Then the taste is there. Because that rati is what's being tasted, then it will give these of their effects, these mental effects, physical effects, and contrary effects. Is that?
Because from this description, it seems that the Krishna, as an Vishayi, is like a passive principle, and a devotee, as an ashra, is more like an active principle.
In this context, that's why you're using object and subject in this way.
Right.
Because the subject is the active one, the object is the passive one. But that's because he is rasa. Right? He is rasa.
Yeah.
So the devotee's in a rasa. But Krishna is rasa.
Mm-hmm.
So he is rasa, so the devotee in their particular rasa interacts with Krishna, then he reciprocates within that rasa. Because otherwise, then, unless there's something to direct that towards, then what's, just like Krishna is rasa. So how do you taste rasa unless there's a mix? Right? So it has to be directed somewhere. So how will he decide how to direct that rasa?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be according to the devotees, how they direct towards him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to, you know, come up and walk, you know, come back from the cowherd fields and all that. And as he walks by Mother Jashoda there, you know, offering him artik, then he, you know, gives him one of those, you know, really, really, you know, sincere and heartfelt, you know, Punjabi whacks on the shoulder blade and then keeps walking. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, he'll do that with Sri Dhamma or something. So, rasa is directed at the devotees according to how they directed him. So he's the enjoyer of it. I mean, he's the controller of everything. But at the same time, it's based on how the living entity is dealing with them. So he has all these emotions. Right? Just like, let's say, the parent. They have a wide range of emotions, but depending upon the emotion of the child at the time, that's the one they're going to reciprocate with.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because there's no rasa if the child's in one mood and you're in another. It's just not. It's not going to happen. Does that make sense? So, yeah.
He's carrying the comfort that the gopis. Whatever they see is so ubiquitous for them, and it reminds them of Krishna. However, when we connect everything to Krishna, it only becomes knowledge or it only becomes smaranam of the person, but it doesn't give any taste in that. It doesn't give any taste.
Yes. Means gopis see everything in relationship to Krishna, they're getting taste. But we see things in relation to Krishna, it gives us knowledge but gives no taste.
Mm-hmm.
So then why are you still here? If there's no taste, why are you still here?
Hoping that I will get the taste somewhere in the future.
So there's not a taste in hoping you'll get the taste?
Got it.
Okay. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. This verse distinguished the Alambana as Krishna and his devotees. The object which inspires rati is called the Vishaya. That is Krishna alone in this context. The Adhara, container, is the foundation of the experience of rati. The person qualified to experience rati. Right? So that's there the container. It means they're the one that this particular rati is within. Consequently, it refers to devotees, right? So, in other words, the Alambana, the object is Krishna alone, and the subject will be the devotees. The highly affectionate devotees. Consequently, it refers to devotees, the highly affectionate devotees, even if they are recent devotees, not Nitya Siddha. It also refers to the associates eternally situated in the Lord's pastimes, Nityasiddha, the embodiments of profound rasa, who will be defined later in the text. According to other opinions, there is an alternative to being the ashraya. That rati which predominantly distinguishes object, vishaya, and subject, ashraya, takes place in persons other than the eternal associates of Lord in his pastimes. However, even among the associates in the Lord's pastimes, the distinction of ashraya and vishaya takes place in all except the most intimate associates. For these most intimate among the intimate associates, there is no distinction of ashraya and vishaya. In that case, only Krishna is alamba, as alambana is prominent.
Can you explain?
Is it oneness?
It means the most intimate among the intimate associates. So who will that be? Yes. So for them, they don't really make the distinction because all of it, means everything will remind them of Krishna, right? So the devotees and all that. So that's the aspect of the Udipan there, but the aspect of the ashraya is that Krishna is also the shelter of that affection, and there the means his affection to them, their affection to him. And that, so it doesn't have so much that distinction. That's why you'll see later on, it'll be pointed out, Srila Prabhupada will mention that Krishna is the supreme, he's the supreme subject, and the devotee is the supreme object. Like that. Because the subject is about Krishna, but the object of Krishna is the devotee. So all the devotees will talk about Krishna, but Krishna's focus is just on the devotees. So here we're discussing it, seeing the mechanics of how it works. And it'll function in that way. But when you get to these intimate devotees, then you don't really make that distinction because then it works, it has that both aspects. It has that reversal to it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But as far as the science goes, it still has that aspect. It's just here it becomes so intimate that you don't need to make at any point either one of them is going. Because it's about Krishna interacting with them. The other, it's that they surrender to Krishna, he reciprocates that way. Here is the affection is so intense and so intimate that you don't really distinguish between the two. Though that you distinguish means you can tell the difference, but you don't, the mood is... Yeah, because he's both the ashraya and the vishraya.
Yeah, I think there's also mentioned that on that kind of level of relationship, there's no possibility of rasa bas, because whatever happens, it's very tasty. It's not.
Yes, yes. And though, because those sanchari bhavas will be quite prominent, and they're always contradictory, so you won't get.
Yeah.
Because there's no that complete surrender, you won't have any element of liberation. So there's no question of them a taste for themselves. It's all about Krishna's taste. Yes.
So when it's stated that Krishna becomes devotee if he's devotee,
yes,
this will be the highest
yes
expression.
Yes, yes. And so that's why then it's. Only Krishna's alambana is prominent because he is both the ashraya and the vishraya. He's where all the attention is directed towards him by the devotees, but he is also all of his attention is directed at them. The others, it's as they're surrendering, so it's part. But when you're dealing with the Surup Shakti, it's complete, it's full. That's why Krishna with Radharani, then that, you can say, that's rasa. She's the devotee. Everyone else is a devotee of the devotee. But she's a devotee, so that taste is complete. There. So that's why we always want to assist. You know, that's why Prabhupada says, in Vrindavan everyone says Radhe Radhe, because they're all servants of Radharani. It's not a question of, yeah, on my own, I'm doing a great job. You know, so. Rat Yadhe. Rati and other items means the main sthaibhavas, five, and the seven secondary ones such as hasa, humor, which will be explained later. The rati experienced within a person will be that which is being cultivated by the experiencer and should not be dissimilar. Right? So it's what is being cultivated, that's what will be experienced. It won't be something else. It's not that Mother Jashoda is doing some activity and then she gets, you know, the taste of a different rasa from that. No, she'll get a taste from her rasa. It would be considered different if it were not related to the internal inclinations, samskara, of the experiencer. If it is dissimilar but is not contradictory to its natural inclination in rati, that type of rati acts as a stimulus, udipan. Right? So it's different from themselves. Right? In other words, there's a samskara of what they're feeling and all that. So what they're cultivating in mood, that's the experience they'll get. But at the same time, as if it's in line with that mood, but it's different, that becomes the udipa. Does that make sense? The mood that they have and the experience they get being the same, right? That's their rati, right? Where the mood is complementary, but the item itself is different from themselves. That's then udipan. But, you know, in other words, seeing Krishna's flute, or hearing the flute, or the cows, it's different, but it's not contradictory. So what matches in your rasa, that will then resonate there. What doesn't match in your rasa won't be important. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why when Krishna plays the flute at night, you don't see the cowherd boys coming out, you know, and playing their flutes and blowing their beauty like that. Krishna plays in a particular way for them, so that then they'll. But that doesn't catch the... Cause so he'll play that when he's with the cowherd boys. But when he plays with the gopis, that'll be different. So it won't be contradictory to their mood. So. Okay. If it is dissimilar but not contradictory to his natural inclination in rati, that type of rati acts as a stimulus, udipana, being observed by him in others. But the person does not directly act as the alambana by directly experiencing that dissimilar rati. In what manner a person becomes the shelter of contradictory rati will be explained later in the text, footnote 2. This is explained in the northern section in the chapter dealing with friendly and inimical rasas. Right, so that'll be a fine point there. Right, so he's observed by others, he becomes asked as the stimuli. Yeah. So you see something in someone else, that someone else then becomes the alambana for you experiencing your own rasa. But it's not that the person you're observing necessarily experiences that. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like Uttama Adhikari sees everybody as Uttamas.
Yes. They're seeing that, but it's not that the other people are experiencing that themselves. Yeah. You know, yeah. So it's not as he's looking around the crowd and seeing an individual and seeing them as serving a Krishna and goes, wow, I'm serving a Krishna. Then when he looks away, he just goes back to normal. Yeah, so not like that. But it's saying where a person becomes the shelter of contradictory rati, that will be explained in the next side of the ocean. No, actually in the last side of the ocean. So we need a little bit more understanding to get to that one. We're having enough problem just figuring out what's normal. Yeah. 2:1:17. Now Krishna as the object of rati is described or discussed. Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, is the crest jewel of heroes in whom all great qualities shine eternally. He is considered the alambana, or support, for Rati, Vishaya, through his sarup and other forms that he may assume. Right? So his assuming of this is himself. The cause of it is himself, as we see from the we're coming up in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. So it's not that it's coming from somewhere else. He's the cause of it himself. So that's why he's always the Vishaya. Text 2.1.18. The quote unquote other forms are now explained as follows. Quote, how is it that I have developed Rati for the calves and the cowherd boys similar to my Rati for Krishna? In this way, Balaram, with indecision, remains struck with wonder. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna is the possessor of inconceivable potencies and qualities of transcendental knowledge and bliss, is the basic cause of ecstatic love. Lord Krishna also becomes the reservoir, impetus of ecstatic love by his different incarnations and expansions. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.36, there is a statement in connection with the Brahma Vimohana Lila, which demonstrates something of this impelling or impetus, giving feature of ecstatic love. When Brahma was deluded by Krishna, who expanded himself into so many cowherd boys, calves and cows, Krishna's elder brother, Sri Baladev, and a direct expansion of Krishna himself, felt astonished and said, quote, how wonderful it is that my ecstatic love for Krishna is again being attracted by so many cowherd boys, calves and cows, end quote. He was struck with wonder in thinking in this way. This is one of the examples in which Krishna himself becomes the object and reservoir of ecstatic love in the impelling aspect. Right, so he's become the other, that he's the Udipan for his love for Krishna, even though it's him himself. Srila Jiva Goswami. How has Balaram's Rati for Krishna risen in relation to the calves and cowherd boys? Footnote 3. In this example, the object of affection or Rati is still Krishna, but in the form of calves and cowherd boys. Stimita means stunned. Eva is used as an ornament of speech and does not mean somewhat astonished. Yeah, it means seriously astonished.
No,
it does mean. Oh, does mean? And does mean somewhat astonished. Okay. Ornament of speech, that means somewhat astonished. Chapter 21, Qualities of Krishna. Sri Krishna. 2.1.19. The sarup as the alambana is now discussed. The sarup takes two forms, covered and manifested. 2.1.20. The covered sarup is explained. The sarup is called covered when it is covered or disguised by others' clothing. 2.1.21. An example of a disguised sarup is given. Why does this queen in the inner chambers of Dwarka attract me so much? Ah, I can understand that Krishna has assumed the dress of a queen out of curiosity and is wandering about the palace. Srila Prabhupada. Personal features can be divided into two, because one of the 64 arts is to be able to dress yourself up in such a way that even someone who's close to you doesn't even know who you are. Right? They're only telling because they can tell by the ecstatic love. Otherwise, by looking, they can't tell. Srila Prabhupada. Personal features can be divided into two. One feature is covered, and the other feature is manifested. When Krishna is covered by different kinds of dress, his personal feature is covered. There is an example of this covered personal feature in Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with his Dwarka Lila, his residence in Dwarka as its king. Sometimes Lord Krishna began to play by dressing himself like a woman. Seeing this form, Uddhava said, how wonderful it is that this woman is attracting my ecstatic love exactly as Lord Krishna does. I think she must be Krishna covered by the dress of a woman. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of Uddhava. The attraction caused by the queen is the same as that, directed to the Lord. This incident is supported by the show of Krishna's power of Yoga Maya, in Dwarka described in the Bhagavatam. Somewhere, Krishna, the Lord of mystic power, was moving about in disguise among the homes of ministers and other citizens in order to understand what each of them was thinking. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.36. So it's a standard thing that the kings would do that before You know, but they would be doing it for administrative position, you know, to understand what the people are thinking, if there's some dissatisfaction or, you know, or something's going on that shouldn't be going on like that. But Krishna going about, then it's going to be about devotion, you know, about seeing there, because in this way they may be expressing and so many things, because there'll be a different taste, because if he's there, it's more formal, and like this, then they may show a different side. 2122.
Personal, because he can do that through Paramatma, but he chooses to dress up and walk around.
Yeah, yeah, yes, 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 says Bhagavan, yes, yeah. 2122. An example of the manifested Sarupa is given. The sweet form of the enemy of the demon Madhu gives me intense bliss. He has a neck like a conch shell, beautiful eyes envied by the lotuses, and the bodily glow of the dark tamal tree. His head is sheltered by an umbrella. His chest is marked with a Srivatsa whorl, and his hands are marked with chakra conch and other symbols. Srila Prabhupada. One devotee praised the bodily features of Krishna when he saw the Lord in his manifested personal feature. He exclaimed, quote, "How wonderful is the personal feature of Lord Krishna! How his neck is just like a conch shell, his eyes are so beautiful, as though they themselves were encountering the beauty of a lotus flower. His body is just like the tamal tree, very blackish. His head is protected with a canopy of hair. There are the marks of Srivatsa on his chest, and he's holding his conch shell. By such beautiful bodily features, the enemy of the demon Madhu has appeared so pleasing that he can bestow upon me transcendental bliss simply by my seeing his transcendental qualities." Srila Jiva Goswami. These are also the words of Uddhava. Krishna has extreme beauty in his eyes, which are desired by the lotuses. Kamala, Kamani, Yakshi, Patima. The effulgence of his body shines like the blackness of the tamal tree. Tamala, Shamanga, Jyutihi. There are other versions of the verse, but these have been rejected. He has the mark of the Srivatsa in the form of a whorl of very fine hair. Mm-hmm. Fine, dara, white hair. No, this must be from the Bhagavatam or something. Yes, yes, but it means the verse that's mentioned. Yes. Okay, mark of the Srivats in the form of a whorl of very fine, dara, white hair. His hands are marked with the signs of chakra, ari, and conch, dara. At all times, ati, rama, his head is sheltered by an umbrella. So he's just showing that it's in line with how it's there, and Srila Prabhupada is translating that way. So others must come up with some other translations, but those ones aren't the ones we're using. 2123. The qualities of Krishna will be described. The hero Krishna has beautiful limbs, has all auspicious bodily features, is pleasing to behold, possesses vitality, is strong, and is endowed with ideal age. Srila Jiva Goswami. Qualities function in two ways, as primary indicators and as secondary indicators. If we talk about the beautiful limbs of Krishna, the emphasis is placed on the quality of Krishna, the beautiful limbs. In this case, acting in a primary way, the quality acts as Udipana. If we talk about beautiful limbed Krishna, the emphasis is on Krishna, and the quality is secondary, intrinsic to his very self. The quality in this case acts as Alambana. The qualities in their secondary function, acting as Alambana, will be described first. In this verse, Ayam Neta means the hero or object of love who is called Krishna. Right? That made sense? So it's just a matter of the primary and secondary. So beautiful. So we're talking about who Krishna, who has all these beautiful features, or the features themselves of Krishna. Right? So one will be so Krishna, who has these beautiful features, is the Alambana. It's who you're directing the affection towards. But the beautiful features themselves, they become the Udipan. They become the cause for the rise of rasa. Does that make sense? So that's why they're primary. right? Because then you're taking them as the main aspect, and then that's what's reminding you of Krishna. But otherwise, you're thinking of Krishna who has these, then those qualities become secondary. But Krishna has those. 2.1.24. He knows a variety of astonishing languages, is truthful, speaks in a pleasing manner, is eloquent, learned, intelligent, and filled with new ideas. Because that's one of the aspects you see of the devotee, is that the mind being purified, then because there's no material desire in that, then it's always the newer and fresher and everything like that, the mind. So we see is that Krishna is the origin of that. So newer and newer ideas, and that way you can unlimitedly go on tasting rasa. 2.1.25. He is aesthetic, clever, skillful, and graceful. He keeps his vows, is knowledgeable of time, place, and person, sees through the eyes of Scripture, is pure, right here, sees through the eyes of Scripture. It means he always does everything according to Scripture. So this idea, oh, we don't care for Scripture, we're above that. Okay, we may be, but Krishna's not. If we want to act that way, fine, but Krishna doesn't act that way, so now who are you going to interact with? Who will be the alambana for you? Yeah. Is pure and controls the senses. Right? So these are all qualities in that the devotee is practicing. He is persevering, patient, tolerant, inscrutable, steadfast, uniform, generous, virtuous, heroic, compassionate, and respectful to persons worthy of respect. 2.1.27. He is compliant, modest, bashful, the protector of those who take shelter of him, happy, friend of the devotees, controlled by love, and the benefactor of all. 2.1.28. He is glorious, renowned, the object of attraction for all, the shelter of the devotees, attractive to women, worshipable by all, and endowed with the greatest wealth. 2.1.29. He is the most important and the controller. These 50 qualities of Krishna, which have been listed, are difficult to fathom like the ocean. Right? Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami, after consulting various scriptures, has enumerated the transcendental qualities of the Lord as follows. 1. Beautiful features of the entire body. 2. Marked with all auspicious characteristics. 3. Extremely pleasing. 4. Effulgent. 5. Strong. 6. Ever youthful. 7. Wonderful linguist. 8. Truthful. 9. Speaks pleasingly. 10. Fluent. 11. Highly learned. 12. Highly intelligent. 13. A genius. 14. Artistic. 15. Extremely clever. 16. Expert. 17. Grateful. 18. Firmly determined. 19. An expert judge of time and circumstances. 20. Sees and speaks on the authority of the Vedas or scriptures. 21. Pure. 22. Self-controlled. 23. Steadfast. 24. Forbearing. 25. Forgiving. 26. Grave. 27. Self-satisfied. 28. Possessing equilibrium. 29. Magnanimous. 30. Religious. 31. Heroic. 32. Compassionate. 33. Respectful. 34. Gentle. 35. Liberal. 36. Shy. 37. The protector of surrendered souls. 38. Happy. 39. The well-wisher of the devotees. 40. Controlled by love. 41. All auspicious. 42. Most powerful. 43. All famous. 44. Popular. 45. Partial to devotees. 46. Very attractive to all women. 47. All worshipable. 48. All opulent. 49. All honorable. 50. The supreme controller. The supreme personality of Godhead has all these 50 transcendental qualities in fullness as deep as the ocean. In other words, the excellent extent of his qualities is inconceivable. 2.1.30. These qualities are present even in the jivas to a very small degree. Now and then, however, they are present in full in the Supreme Lord. No, excuse me. Oh, it's very short. Now and then. However, they are present in the Supreme Lord. Yes, this is what? English is so weird, right?
It is.
Yeah. These qualities are present even in the jivas to a very small degree now and then. So, yeah, they come up now and then. So, you know. However, they are present in full in the Supreme Lord. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, as parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the individual living entities can also possess all of these qualities in minute quantities, provided they become pure devotees of the Lord. Because without being pure devotees, you can't say you're going to get these. So this idea I'm going to separately endeavor for them won't work. right? Like that. You have to perform something in the context of what the scriptures are recommending, the context of devotional service, you develop these qualities. Now you're doing it not really connected to the Lord, that's called piety, but it still has to follow the same process. In other words, all of the above transcendental qualities can be present in the devotees in minute quantity, whereas the qualities in fullness are always present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami. Now and then, kvachit, means that those jivas who receive the mercy of the Lord exhibit the majority of these qualities. Even then, the qualities are present as small drops only. The qualities are present in others who do not receive the Lord's mercy as only a mere semblance, abhasha. Right? So those who don't have the Lord's, you know, who aren't devotees, then they'll have here and there a little bit. Footnote 4. This implies that those qualities are not real. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, it is said, all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? That means the quality is there, but if it's being used in a non-proper way for material, then how is it actually a good quality? Because it's not moving them forward. It's not bringing them closer to Krishna and closer to self-realization. They're just becoming more and more covered. So it's like the gold chain. You're still bound, but it's a nicer chain. Yeah. 2.131. In this way, in the Padma Purana, Shiva tells Parvati about the qualities of Krishna, starting with his beauty, which is greater than that of 10 million cupids. 2.132. The earth also describes the qualities of Krishna clearly and extensively in order to instruct the deity of Dharma in the first canto. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, Dharmyaya means in order to teach the personification of Dharma, end quote. The dative case, dharmaya, is used according to the rule kriyarto papa dasya cha karmani stanina. Dative case of a word is employed to denote the object of the suppressed infinitive. If that makes any sense. Panini 2.3.14. Thus, dharmaya, dative case, means the earth described Krishna's qualities for dharma, or the earth described Krishna's qualities in order to teach the deity dharma. Yeah. Yeah. 2.133-36. Where's the other? Oh no, there's more to that previous one. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.19. It appears that the prostitutes of Dwarka were so eager to meet the Lord, were all his unalloyed devotees, and thus they were all on the path of salvation according to the above verse of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the only reformation that is necessary in society is to make an organized effort to turn the citizens into devotees of the Lord, and thus all good qualities of the denizens of heaven will overtake them in their own way. On the other hand, those who are non-devotees have no good qualifications whatsoever, however they may be materially advanced. The difference is that the devotees of the Lord are on the path of liberation, whereas the non-devotees are on the path of further entanglement in material bondage. The criterion of advancement of civilization is whether the people are educated and advanced on the path of salvation. Where was it? So that's the whole point, is that good qualities are in connection with being a devotee. And not having good qualities, or that not really having any depth, means you're not a devotee. Right? So that degree that one is a devotee, one develops all the good qualities. Okay. Yeah. 2.133-36. In him reside 1. Truthfulness, 2. Cleanliness, 3. Tolerance of another's unhappiness, 4. The power to control anger, 5. Self-satisfaction, 6. Straightforwardness, 7. Steadiness of mind, 8. Control of sense organs, 9. Responsibility, 10. Equality, 11. Tolerance, 12. Equanimity. 13, faithfulness. 14, knowledge. 15, absence of self-enjoyment, sense enjoyment. 16, leadership. 17, chivalry. 18, influence. 19, the power to make everything possible. 20, the discharge of proper duty. 21, complete independence. 22, dexterity. 23, fullness of all beauty. 24, serenity. 25, kind-heartedness. 26, ingenuity. 27, gentility. 28, magnanimity. 29, determination. 30, perfection in all knowledge. 31, proper execution. 32, possession of all objects of enjoyment. 33, joyfulness. 34, immovability. 35, fidelity. 36, fame. 37, worship. 38, pridelessness. 39, being as the personality of Godhead. 40, eternity and many other transcendental qualities, which are eternally present and never to be separated from him. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:16-27-30. Besides these, there are other transcendental qualities which are described by Lord Shiva to Parvati in the Padma Purana. And in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with a conversation between the deity of the earth and the king of religion, Yamaraj, it is said therein, Persons who are desirous of becoming great personalities must be decorated with the following qualities: truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, perseverance, renunciation, peacefulness, simplicity, control of the senses, equilibrium of the mind, austerity, equality, forbearance, placidity, learning, knowledge, detachment, opulence, chivalry, influence, strength, memory, independence, tactfulness, luster, patience, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, mannerliness, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, gravity, steadiness, faithfulness, fame, respectfulness, and lack of false egotism, end quote. Persons who are desiring to become great souls cannot be without any of the above qualities. So we can know for certain that these qualities are found in Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul. So you can't be a good leader, because Bhumi's talking to Dharmaraj. So as a leader, then he should have these qualities. So, therefore, having these qualities means that if you need this for leadership, Krishna is the leader of everyone, so he has these qualities. So then how will you develop these qualities? By surrendering to Krishna, then you'll develop these qualities.
Sometimes one devotee has this quality which came from his previous life security. Another devotee maybe doesn't have new qualities, but his bhakti is more strong and he will be better than first devotee. And the question is it possible to distinguish for us which qualities came from Krishna Bhakti and which qualities came from previous parasiti, or it's not important?
It's not important. The point is that the point to distinguish is that they come from devotional service. So if one's performing piety simply means the devotional activity without devotion to the Lord. Does that make sense? So devotional service being performed where it's not about pleasing Krishna but about gaining some material benefit, some fruit of benefit, it's called pious activity. Like you get up in the morning, take your bath, you know, go to the temple, take darshan of the deities, but the whole point of it is simply to get the piety to go to the heavenly planets. It's not called devotional service, it's called piety. Does that make sense? But it's the same activities, there aren't other activities. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, from that they may have some qualities, but the point is if they're not using them in Krishna's service, what's the point? But if the devotee is engaged in Krishna's service, then that's properly situated. And it's just a matter of time before the qualities will manifest.
He told it in a point that sometimes some devotee can manifest good qualities and we respect him, we think that he is soft and pleasant for us, but maybe it's only from his pious activity.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if they're a devotee and they're using it in Krishna's service, then what's the problem? It's fine. It's perfect. The point is we shouldn't be bewildered by karmis who they may have some piety and behaving nicely, and then we may think, oh, the karmis are nicer than the devotees. It's like you say the karmis means all of them, you know, like that. Who are you talking about? Like that, you know, it means how many do they know? You know, they met one that, you know, work today was nice, one, you know, so Does that make sense? So you have to be able to distinguish that being used in the Lord's service is a value, but if it's not used, it's just like karmis have money also, but they don't use it for Krishna, so it's a waste of money. You know, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of endeavor. So in the same way, the good qualities are still a waste. But if we have the tendency to think the qualities themselves are of value on their own, then we'll have a problem. Because then we can be distracted by anywhere where we see somebody behaving nice. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
I think previously it was mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 26 qualities of the devotees.
Okay, yes.
And one is mentioned Swarup Lakshana.
Yes.
And then 25 Tatastha Lakshana.
Yes, yes.
So then Swarup Lakshana is our main, like, meditation. Or
yes.
That's what we're looking for.
Yes, yes.
Which is Krishna Ekasharan.
Yes.
An absolute, exclusive surrender to Krishna. And everything else, other people also can manifest, but it doesn't really matter because they don't have this Swarup Lakshana.
Yes, yes, yes. So eventually the qualities will go away.
And also remember, Adipurushadi in the Bhakti Shastri, it tells us that during the service, if we see a devotee who has one of this quality, and associate with this devotee sincerely, we will gain the quality.
Yeah, for appreciating, why not?
So by appreciation and by serving the devotee with a quality, we gain the quality.
Yes.
If we criticize the devotee, we lost our quality and the person take our good quality.
That's part of it. The other part is the bad quality that we criticize them for, we'll get that one.
Yes, you get that one.
Yeah, so they lose that, and we get it. So you like it so much that you're criticizing, so then, okay, then you have it. (137) Now five qualities of Krishna, which will be present in Shiva and others when they are the Lord's expansions, will be listed. So we see these ones given by Bhumi Devi. Then they're very similar to the other 50 that are mentioned. It's just they're using different synonyms of the same kind of concept. Like that. So you see they're not taken as separate numbers. They don't add to the 50. To the Jiva Goswami. Amshena here means by his own expansions, where suitable. Others, Adishu, indicates that the Lord himself assumes the position of Brahma and others during some of the Brahma's lifetimes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Girisha means Sadashiva. Right, so then Brahma and Shiva. 2.1.38. He is always situated in his eternal form. He is omniscient. He is forever young. He has a body made of condensed eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And he possesses all cities, mystic powers. Srila Prabhupada. Besides all of the above mentioned 50 qualities, Lord Krishna possesses 5 more, which are sometimes partially manifested in the persons of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. These transcendental qualities are as follows. 1. 51, changeless. 52, all cognizant. 53, ever fresh. 54, Satchidananda, possessing an eternal blissful body. 55, possessing all mystic perfections. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premanandini.